From the studios at Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Caudette. Just a few days after winning the GOP primary for state attorney general, Ro Labrador led the charge to direct Central District Health to remove any recommendation for face masks from its website. George Prentice has more on this story.
Insisting that Idaho school children suffer due to face mask requirements at the height of the pandemic, Labrador told the Central District Board of Health that in spite of any recommendation from the CDC, the district, which includes all of Ada, Boise, Elmore, and Valley counties, should not have anything regarding face masks on its website or in any communication to schools.
And I think we need to be more responsible. And I know people disagree with me, but I think we need to be more responsible. And we need to stop pushing masks on children.
Doubling down on Labrador's motion, Dr. Ryan Cole, another member of the Central District Board of Health appointed by Ada County Commissioners, Cole repeated his call for not wearing face coverings and urged the board to also end any recommendation for a COVID vaccine.
This is a dangerous gene-based shot that is not a vaccine. We cannot scientifically recommend this to anybody. I am adamant about this. This is the hill I will die on.
Ultimately, the Central District Board of Health agreed to remove any recommendation for face coverings from its website and agreed to consider Cole and Labrador's effort to remove any recommendation for a COVID vaccine. Cole said he would prepare background information for the board to consider at its next meeting. I'm George Prentice, Boise State Public Radio News.
And this move comes as statewide cases of COVID-19 are ticking up. In fact, Ada County continues to be a hotspot for cases. And last Friday, when the Board of Health met, the level of the virus found in Boise's wastewater had more than doubled in less than a week. So here today to talk about COVID, to talk about masks, and the latest news is Dr. David Pate. As you know, he is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. He's also a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. And remember, if you have questions about COVID, get them to us now. Email us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Dr. Pate, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay. Dr. Pate, what in the world happened at the CDH board meeting on Friday, and what does this mean? I know that you are fired up about this, as am I, on a day when we are getting more and more information coming from Texas of these children who were mowed down, and now we have other so-called health experts, other people in power who don't want to protect children when it comes to masking when numbers are up.
Yeah, you know, so of course, this is not news. This has been a problem throughout much of the pandemic that even our public health boards, in some cases, have been the source of disinformation. You will remember running a story on your show about another health district who one of the board members was giving her, you know, complete, having no expertise, giving her assessment that, you know, that people just need, you know, that there were some people that just needed more vitamin D. And you know, we've heard all kinds of nonsense. That other public health board even invited some people that, one who is in disrepute, the other who had no expertise to come and testify to their public health board. So this isn't new. What does all this mean? Here's what I think people ought to think about. Number one, I think we're all learning that elections matter, and it's not just the big publicized races. I think we now see the consequences of school board trustee elections, and in this case, county commissioner elections. And I have to admit that prior to all of this nonsense, I didn't get real revved up about county commissioner races. They didn't really impact my life a lot. Now they do. What we see is that the very reason that that Dr. Cole is on this public health board, when he was competing with probably our state's most expert physician on infectious diseases and this particular virus, Dr. Sky Blue, is they chose him. And they chose him for political reasons. Our public health shouldn't be political. But it is. And that means we have to fight it politically. And that means everybody that is as offended as I am, you need to show up for the race in November when we are voting for county commissioners and get people that will make responsible choices. So that's number one. Number two, you know, the discussion at Central District Health it does illustrate a fundamental problem with governance that I dealt with a lot in the school boards. And that is that the school boards and what I see happening now with the board at Central District Health, they're making this a binary issue when it is not. That is, should we have a mask recommendation or not? Well, okay, look, I certainly have my opinion on that, and I certainly know the science and evidence probably better than most of the people on that board, but they're the board. And so if you're going to say, well, masks really aren't an option for you, I think that's a terrible decision, but okay, so you're the ones that make the decision. It's not, the answer is just not to promote masks. It's now the question is, then what else are you going to do? What other steps are you going to take to protect children? That discussion never comes up. And there are other options. I was very frustrated with West Ada Board because I was telling them there were ways back in the fall of 2020 that we could have kept all kids in school, even if we couldn't enforce masks, but we had to make some major changes. And people didn't make any effort to explore those options. And even our previous superintendent had a session to look at some of these air handling treatment options. It asked me to sit on a panel to hear various presentations from various vendors to participate in what's called an RFP, a request for proposal. And I said, you know, I'm not the most expert. Let me bring an air engineer with me. And I did. And it was a complete waste of time because we listened to all those. And then nobody asked us what was our opinion. What product did we think would be the best? So it was a complete sham. And we've got to get serious about these changes. If masks aren't an option, okay, well, then what are we going to do? The third thing is we have to figure out what do we want public health to be in Idaho? Because in the past, it was very much different. And I've asked board members, you know, how did this come to be that essentially we're filling these boards with politicians instead of public health experts? And typically the business is usually mundane when there's not a pandemic. And they're making decisions about how to allocate county budgets and those kind of things. So it made sense. It no longer makes sense. We need to rethink who and how people get on these public health boards. And I would say two more things. One is what terrifies me most, you may be surprised by what I heard on that recording, was not Dr. Cole saying ridiculous and untrue things, which I'm used to by now. Among the most ridiculous thing he said is that this isn't even a vaccine. Look, don't even listen to the scientists, of which he thinks he's one. Listen to the most ardent anti-vaxxers. They say these are vaccines. Nobody disagrees that these are vaccines except Ryan Cole. It's ridiculous and it's a distraction. But the most concerning thing he said is that he's going to prepare some kind of briefing documents or presentation to give the board the next meeting when they discuss vaccines. We should not have, board members are to listen to the experts, listen to the evidence and make their decisions. You don't allow board members to usurp that position. First of all, Dr. Cole is not an expert, and he is a major source of disinformation. You don't give him the opportunity to make the presentations in lieu of true expertise. What I would do is you need to invite in recognized vaccinologists, virologists, immunologists, pediatric infectious disease doctors. Have those experts there present at the committee when they want to discuss the vaccines so that we make sure that we can stand up to Dr. Cole's nonsense. If you notice, and I study it closely, every time Dr. Cole is making one of his world tour presentations, it's uncontested. He's only on the stage with people that fully agree with him. In fact, I've even asked him last year to go on TV with me. He would not do that so that we could discuss this. He does not want to be confronted, and he can only, his nonsense can only withstand if it's not challenged. So I think that Central District Health needs to bring in experts for that meeting and don't let Dr. Cole run this show. Now, they may still, that board is not very responsible. That board may still make a bad decision, but let's at least get true information out on the record. My final point, and then I'll stop. I think where how we've gotten into this mess is that there was such a negative reaction to mask mandates, lockdowns, vaccine mandates, that people to fight it started just coming out with disinformation to scare people. I proposed to Dr. Cole and to Raul Labrador last year, I said, you know, I don't have the authority, of course, but I would be happy to try to advocate for a position where we in Idaho, we relinquish all authority to implement these requirements statewide, mask mandates, lockdowns, vaccine mandates, if the other side will just commit as equally strong with us to fight disinformation and not allow it. The worst thing that we can do from a public health standpoint is take away all of the public health authority to protect the public and then promote, even from our public health organizations, disinformation. A bedrock principle of medicine is that we don't make decisions for our patients. We inform them. We give them the facts and then let them make a decision. If you don't protect those people and you lie to them, then you are taking away all of their ability to make healthcare decisions for themselves. That should be a bipartisan agreement that we don't want to take that decision-making away from individuals. So they have got to stop the disinformation and exchange we could give up the requirements.
Very well said, Dr. Pate. And I and parents are concerned about this disinformation and this misinformation that is, frankly, I used to believe was because these people were maybe uninformed. I now realize that I think these people in power are quite informed, and they are the ones wanting to lead people down the wrong path. And this impacts children. And parents, as I said, are concerned. In fact, we have a question from Sarah, and she says this: with the recent news of the CDH not recommending masks, and assuming we have a surge in the fall and winter, and knowing that most of our school districts will do nothing to mitigate for COVID, for next school year, will vaccines and boosters be enough to keep our kids safe for in-person school?
Well, it's hard to say because I don't know what form of the virus we're going to be dealing with at that point. My fear is that at that point, we may be dealing with BA4 and BA5. If that's the case, no, our children will not be safe. Now, I don't know what we're going to be dealing with, but I can tell you that what we've learned over this past, since vaccines became available at the very end of 2020 and first part of 2021, is a vaccine strategy with the vaccines that we currently have is not enough, because we have seen people that got infected can get reinfected. People that have gotten vaccinated can get breakthrough infections. And, you know, Now, what the good news is that in the vast majority of cases, if people get fully vaccinated, then they're protected from some of the really bad things like being hospitalized, put on a ventilator, and dying. What is not getting out in the public discussion is that people are still getting bad problems other than being hospitalized and dying, and that includes long COVID, other kinds of health conditions that can affect their pursuit of the careers they want to, their ability to work full time, creates many, many different kinds of disabilities, and in some cases has caused their subsequent death due to these long-term complications. So we have to stop thinking about COVID as it's a matter of yeah, there's a small number of people that die, but everybody else does okay. That's not true that everybody else does okay. Some of those people, in fact, a study just came out, I think it was yesterday, showed that if you are 18 to 64, 20% after they got infected sometime between March of 2020 and the first part of 2021, they had long-term consequences to their health. If you were over 65, it was 25%. So this is not inconsequential.
Dr. Pate, we have a question from a listener. So let's take a listen to this.
My wife tested positive for COVID last Tuesday, and she continues to test positive. I'm in the house, but sleeping in a separate room now, and I have not tested positive. We're planning a trip leaving on Friday. We're going to be in a confined space in a van camping. Just curious if she is still contagious or I should be concerned, what your thoughts are at the doctor's roundtable. Thank you.
And Dr. Pate, we have heard a bunch of these stories lately where one person tests positive, but then the rest of the family in the home has concerns like this. So can you give us some clarity? Because I personally know people where one person has gotten sick in the family and no one else has. I think there's this anxiety that everyone's waiting to get it once someone in the home gets it.
Well, and it's appropriate anxiety because obviously being in close contact with somebody who is infected is one of the major risk factors. So the important information to answer this listener's question, he didn't provide. And that is what makes a huge difference in terms of whether we do see multiple people infected in a family or whether we don't, is the person who is currently infected, were they fully vaccinated? If they were fully vaccinated and particularly boosted, they don't transmit as much virus and as for long. So your chances of getting infected are significantly reduced if they are fully vaccinated and especially boosted. Then the other question is, what about the family members? Because if the family members are fully vaccinated, and particularly if they're boosted, they also, just from that fact, have a much reduced chance of getting infected. The ideal situation, obviously, is when everybody in that family is fully vaccinated. Then we often see this situation where one person may get a breakthrough infection, but really nobody else in the family gets infected. So I don't have that information to be able to tell him. What I would tell your listeners that in general, unfortunately, the CDC has given some very confusing messaging that has led some people to think that they're only contagious for 5 days. That is clearly wrong. There are people who can be infectious much more period of time. The problem in knowing is testing for infectivity and infectiousness is very difficult to do. So we use surrogates. We use things like viral loads and so forth and the antigen tests to be able to make a guess. Those are not perfect indicators of whether you're contagious, but to do it it would require testing that is very difficult and not readily available. So what a good way to try to make this assessment on your own is to use those lateral flow tests, those rapid antigen tests that you can buy at the pharmacy or drugstore that you can test at home. If that is positive, so for example, if you're getting ready for that trip and it's the day before, if that test is positive, you should presume that the infected person is still contagious. Now, we don't know that for a fact. That's not the test to answer that question, but that's the best information you can have without the really fancy testing. And what I would say is that it is very important that if you have been infected, that you are masking whenever you are around people for at least 10 days, because we know people can transmit within that period of time. It can be longer. And so certainly we encourage that. Obviously, we wouldn't encourage that person to be around a lot of other people. If you were going to take a car trip, I would certainly, and this is a good time of the year to do it, if you're going to be in the car with that spouse who's infected, get the windows down. That'll help.
Before we take a break, Patrick and McCall wrote in and he said, my wife and I are in our 60s, both vaccinated and boosted. We just got over COVID with the help of Paxlovid. We don't know what variant we had. So, Dr. Pate, well, does that mean that we should expect to have no immunity because of these new variants?
So, you know, I don't know when the person says we just got over COVID, I don't know whether that person means literally like just in the last couple of weeks, in which chance it probably was BA 2.1.2.1 or BA 2, or if just getting over it means like just had it like back in January, February, in which case it was probably BA 1.1. What we do know is that if for all those people that got infected at the beginning of this year with our big Omicron surge, which was BA 1.1, if that is all they're relying on for their immunity, they're screwed. Because of all the variants we've seen, it's the least immunogenic, meaning it precipitates the least amount of immune response, and it has the least protection against other variants, even that are still within the Omicron class, like what we're dealing with right now, and the BA4 and BA5 that I talked about that I worry about for later. It almost no protection. So if you have only been infected and you've only been infected recently, assume you have very little protection. And I would definitely get vaccinated, even if you're infected. And for these folks that, if I remember in the question right, they were fully vaccinated and had one booster, but I did hear that they were over 60. I would tell them, get the second booster when it's been more than 4 or 5 months since they had the first booster, because they are going to be at risk.
We do have questions coming in. We want to get to those. If you have a question, email us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Dr. Pate, we have a question from a listener from Mary. Let's take a listen to this.
Dr. Pate, 3 weeks after receiving a Moderna booster, my fourth shot, I tested positive for the coronavirus. I'm wondering if I can take another test to clear me of the virus. My doctor's office told me I had to wait 90 days. Is that true? Thank you.
Dr. Pate, can you help Mary out?
Of course. So there's a lot of confusion about this. So let me try to explain that. If you get infected and you have a positive PCR test, this is the test where they, you know, put that thing up your nose real far. They send it off to a lab. It usually takes a day to get that back. Do not do another one. Because whether it's positive or negative in the future, it just really doesn't have any bearing on this current infection. So to answer a question, her doctor's right in that, no, she shouldn't have another PCR test. And what we generally said is not for 90 days. So that's where that physician got that. But what she can do to answer her question is back to what I was talking about in the last segment. You can use the rapid antigen tests, those lateral flow tests, those rapid tests at home as a proxy. So in other words, isolate for at least 5 days, wear your mask for at least 10 days. But if you want to check because you might be around somebody who is at high risk, maybe around day 11 or 12 or something, you can do the lateral flow or that rapid antigen test. If it's positive, assume you're infectious. If it's negative, you'll have a little bit more comfort in thinking that you probably are not going to infect someone else.
And Dr. Pate, with about 2 minutes left, Andrea wrote us in this today, and she says, now that we're seeing cases rising, but deaths are still low, at what point do we treat COVID like any other contagious illness that we've dealt with in the past?
Well, so the way that we do that is when we get to this disease being endemic, which a lot of so-called experts have pronounced that it is endemic. It's not, because if it was endemic, we wouldn't be having these big epidemic surges. I would just caution again that we don't make those decisions based on deaths. First of all, with cases rapidly rising as they are now, this is not the time you see the deaths. Those deaths are going to follow. So we need to stay tuned for that. What you want to do when you treat this as endemic, or like she said, kind of like any other virus, it's when we have a low level, a predictable level, and people aren't overwhelming our hospitals, and people aren't getting really serious disease from this. And again, we always have to remember our vulnerable adults, our vulnerable children, our immunocompromised. We still have to protect those members of society.
Dr. Pate, as always, I want to thank you so much for taking time, for answering questions, for clarifying things out there that can be confusing for us. We will, of course, have Dr. Pate back next week. We will get to your questions. If you have them, email us. IdahoMatters@boisestate.edu. My just gratitude to you, Dr. Pate. Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma.
Up next, a special performance for a special anniversary.